The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go around the NFL in the loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Brought to you by Quick Assist. Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
On Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
All right. You're in the loop. Let's do a little around the NFL in the loop on Sports Radio 610. And around the NFL is brought to you by Quick Assist. Last minute change of plans and you can't use your tickets? Download Quick Assist from the App Store today. They'll take care of the process for you and find the best price on the market. That's Quick Assist, QUICKASYST. Quick Assist, your ticket everywhere. I guess this is a smaller note, but I found it interesting. I know that I heard on The Drive with Clint and Ron. Ron made this point that with the Texans making some moves on the practice squad yesterday, D'Angelo Ross and Cam Irvin were signed to the practice squad. They both make their returns. Desmond King. David Sharp were released. David Sharp, whatever, man. I say that with as much respect as I can muster because it doesn't matter for our purposes here. But Desmond King is an interesting one. He's somebody that I kind of had forgotten was on the practice squad because he was not elevated or anything once he was signed there. And you had some moments where you had some questions about cornerback depth, particularly in that slot. And he's done that.
He's a slot guy
for this team.
That's where he's best.
In the past. And so it's kind of interesting that he didn't get any run. Not even like any run, but he was not even activated at any point, elevated from the practice squad to the active roster at any point. Even to provide depth at a position that it's clear that this team needs a little depth at.
He's one of those guys that you look at and you look at his production and that he's helped this team. I'm not going to say he's a star, but I mean, he's helped this team. He's played. He's started. That you look at him and you're like, what is it? You know, like, what is it holding him back? What is it keeping him from finding a role on a team, as you said, that kind of needed someone in that role? As far back as training camp this year, he was out there, you know, helping Jalen Petrie, you know, away from the drills even, you know, sort of being a guy that looked like a player that could play and participate and help. Never got on the field.
Yeah.
What is it?
I couldn't tell you, right?
Yeah.
It feels like an oddity that you have a guy there that has played the position, particularly in this system, that it feels like you might need just, hey, have an added guy that can do a little coverage stuff. He can do a little coverage stuff, and that tool is not utilized to the point where they even released him. So D'Angelo Ross makes his return. Cam Irvin listed as a guard. I know that he's previously in the past been listed as a tackle. That's an interesting thing to me as well, but, you know, whatever in that regard, I guess. Speaking of guards, though, you remember at the trade deadline when there was a lot of clamoring for the Texans to make a move for a guard?
Yeah, here.
On the show. Yes, very much on this program. We were asking for the possibility of maybe making a move for a guard. No move was made. And to, you know, the front office, you know, to in their defense, there were no moves for guards at the deadline across the league that you could say, well, maybe you could have gotten that guy. Yeah. But when it comes to kind of reports and rumor mills, one of the names that came up that honestly was posited as a possible trade directly for the Texans was a guard for the Chicago Bears, Nate Davis. We talked about this a little bit. A veteran guy who's played in this league. Well, today he was waived by the Bears. And that feels like an instance where everybody's ears perked up as that was a name that was already associated with the Texans. I don't know to what level of credibility. Like, I don't know if that's, hey, the Texans had interest or like it would have any level of, you know, attachment to him or feel for him. But that's somebody that, you know, somebody looked at and goes, that could help there. And now he's available, right?
Yeah.
Does that interest you in any way, shape, or form?
It does, but I think there's a counterpoint. And I think you opened my eyes to the counterpoint.
You're welcome.
But
notable eye-opener.
But it was nothing really. But either way, so there's a backstory here that's very interesting to me.
Literal backstory.
There is a literal backstory. So apparently one of the Bears beat writers, and I don't have his name in front of me. I apologize.
Boo.
Reported.
Look at the newspaper, man. Not attributing.
That's on me.
That's crazy.
That's on
bro.
Me, guys. That's on me. That apparently the Bears, the final straw. Get this, Figgy. Nate Davis called in Sunday morning with a surprise back injury. Oh, my back hurts. Oh, my back hurts. I'm not going to be able to play today. That to me sounds like a guy that.
Sunday morning.
Called in with a surprise back injury.
He said, my neck and my back.
And now he's cut, you know, on Wednesday. And to me, my first thought was, well, that's just a guy that wanted out. That saw the writing on the wall, that wasn't a fit, that wasn't, you know, necessarily, you know, happy there. I just went out, came up with this presumably bogus back injury. Maybe he did slip and fall, but presumably bogus back injury and said, I'm out. Make sure it happens. And to me, I'm like, okay, well, maybe he's still pretty good, just not a good fit.
To be fair,
but you brought up the counterpoint, and I think it's fair.
Right. Is he a quitter? Right? I'm not often prone to using those terms, those absolute terms in those ways, but, you know, is he a quitter? Yeah. It's a question that has to be asked, because one could easily look at that circumstance that you just described and say, hey, man, quit.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, man, I don't want to be here no more. I want to quit. And you drop him into this offensive line room,
see,
right?
That's the thing.
With the things that are thought, at least on the outside of this building, about that offensive line room.
See, if this offensive line was so elite and the team was rolling, then they could bring on anybody to me. Because now you got to fit into a great situation.
Yeah.
But if this situation ain't the best, then worse. That type of stuff would cost people jobs.
Yeah, when Reggie said that, I went, yeah, that's a good point. Because do you want Nate Davis, who literally, well, I shouldn't say it, presumably faked an injury to get out?
There you go.
Do you want
avoid the lawyers.
Yeah, do you want him in the same room as Laremy Tunsil? No. If that's the case, no.
However, if I was going to make a counterpoint to my counterpoint that I made prior, would you want to go to work with the Chicago Bears right now?
That's what I'm saying. That was my first thought.
That's the other thing, too.
Yeah, my first thought was, okay, he just wanted out, and I get it. Bring him here. But then you said that and got in my head a little bit.
See, if this offensive line was, like, great outside of the left guard, and everything, if you just...
And veterans and tough dudes.
Everybody's good, but it was just a bad left guard. Kenny Green wasn't it.
Yeah.
And you could just plug somebody in right there, and the Texans were...
A veteran, mind you.
Yeah, and the Texans were, let's say they only lost one game or two games.
Yeah.
Then I'd be like, yeah, let's bring them in. Yeah. Bring them into that coach.
They'll make it work.
Yeah, no, they'd make it work.
Mm-hmm.
But with this situation now,
I
wouldn't mess with that.
Some other things around the NFL. We mentioned Dak Prescott going on the IR. Well, that's going to be an end of the season type thing. Jerry Jones, in addition to talking about curtains and sun and stuff, he also let it be known on our sister station up there in Dallas that Dak Prescott is set to have season-ending surgery to repair a partial avulsion of the hamstring tendon. Basically, the hamstring tendon came off the bone.
Yeah.
And so he's officially season-ending. Now, we already knew that he was not going to face this Texans team as they go up to Arlington on Monday to face off against them. I do wonder if that changes the outlook of the team. And they smarten up and actually play Trey Lance?
Maybe, but, you know, they already are going the other direction. By the way, how is Christian Harris?
I have no idea. Let's go to the Figgy News Desk. Yeah. Fig, what is the Christian Harris update?
I'll let you know when I get the update.
Thank you very much for that update.
So when a player has hamstring surgery, you can mention it, is what I'm saying.
Oh, well, but Christian Harris is dealing with a calf. That's completely different. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah,
I will say it is.
How is he?
Again to Figgy. Figgy,
is he? How is he?
Okay, all right. Thank you for that. But yeah, I have no idea. But yeah, it would be nice to just be like, yeah, he's not.
Yeah.
If a surgery was needed or is needed or what have you, it would be nice to know. But at this point, we just have to assume he's not playing this year, right?
We have to.
Now, of course, remember, to be fair, I should bring back up, Jonathan Alexander had kind of the idea of after the bye week
15,
you know, week 15, maybe seeing that come back. But I think, is it fair to just protect our hearts and go, don't expect him back?
Yeah, do it for ourselves. Yeah. Don't build up hopes.
Even if he returns.
Yeah, like, at this point, just keep him out, man.
Yeah. But you can't say it, right? You can say it out loud like Jerry Jones did?
Well, I don't know. See, yes, but then when you say like Jerry Jones did, I feel like the negotes end.
Lose credibility.
Right? As soon as you go, you can do what Jerry Jones did, that's the type of thing that makes you stop and think.
Well, maybe not.
Like, is this something I want to do? Like, there's certain people in life that when you're like, yeah, why don't you do what that
Jerry
person
Jones
did?
Jerry Jones did it. Or well, like, hell, I don't want to do it.
It's like when you get a cosign from that one person, they're like, yeah, I agree. And you're like, wait, hold on. Did I say something?
Yeah, that's the same thing O.J. Simpson did.
Wait a minute.
Just like O.J. Simpson.
Yeah, wait, hold on. Some other things around the NFL. The Colts seem to have realized the error of their ways. Adam Schefter, not too long ago, tweeted out that the Colts have gone back to Anthony Richardson as starting quarterback for that team. So that was a mistake
it was a mistake. It's also potentially, like, I think this is kind of Anthony Richardson's last hurrah, because I don't anticipate them going back to Joe Flacco at any point, because if he's good, then they'll kind of be, you know, in the hunt, so to speak, air quotes, the whole time. If he's really bad, you just ride it out and find out more on him.
You let him get football plays underneath his belt. And then also, the appeal of Joe Flacco is that he comes in and he basically
gives you a shot.
That has been kind of dispelled in this season for Joe Flacco. So going back to him, I don't know what the appeal would be after that point. Besides, like, we just need to let Joe Flacco play football, which I don't see why you would necessarily need that per se.
Yeah.
Maybe Joe Flacco wants to do that.
I think this is Anthony Richardson. You do it, or that's it.
Speaking of quarterback news, Joe Shane, who might be the first dude to have come out entirely negatively, like with no positive aspects from one of these, out-of-season documentary things the NFL will do, in this instance, Hard Knocks, he was talking about their quarterback decision with Daniel Jones, because they're just in a place where Daniel Jones on the field looks very untenable, but he also makes $40 million a year. And he has a $23 million in injury guarantees for next season as well. He said Brian Daboll said on Sunday that the team will be evaluating their options for quarterback during the bye week that they're on this week to determine, obviously, who plays going forward. Mm-hmm. Joe Shane, the GM, made it clear that Daniel Jones' contract will not factor into any choice that the decisions will be made by football decisions.
I know that we
typically do the buy or sell on Thursday, but
yeah,
do you buy this, Joe Shane?
Heck no, absolutely not. That what was it? 140?
Oh no, it's 4 for $160. It was 40 years.
160.
Yeah, that was the deal.
Tell me that's not going to factor in.
I mean, I can lie to you and say it's not going to factor in.
It's not.
I think really the big thing is the injury guarantees, right? Like, if that dude gets injured playing football, you are on the hook for more of this money.
Yeah.
And I think that he is telling the truth in one of these. Not that it will only be made on football decisions, but you can make this off of football decisions because he's looked bad there too.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's not even just, oh, look, he's making some of these passes. Maybe that'll project for. No, it's just, it looks bad.
Yeah.
Just flat out bad. Yeah. Like, there's a lack of confidence. What was it, a few weeks ago where they lose the game and he's on the sideline bawling because of the acknowledgement and the understanding that he's not playing a good level of football. Like, yeah, this feels like this is done and dusted when it comes to his tenure as quarterback in all reality.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just like, what does the exit ramp look like for the New York Giants at this point? That's what it feels like more than anything.
But the contract definitely, I mean, who would it not factor in on? You know, it absolutely does.
There you go. That's Around the NFL here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610, brought to you by Quick Assist. Appreciate you hanging out with us on a Wednesday in H-Town. In the next hour, we will be giving away a $50 gift card to the Texas Star Grill Shop, so make sure you hang out with us. But also, we come to this place once again. Is Chris Sims right in his assessment, this time about Bobby Slowick? We'll talk about that.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atatula.
Yeah, In the Loop, Sports Radio 610, John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and Reggie Atatula hanging out with you on Wednesday. And we return to this question that we've asked before, but in a different capacity. Is Chris Sims right? And you know what? Like, first of all, I'd just like to say, I don't love having to do this consistently. I don't know if you, like me, have just kind of like a running kind of list of analysts of people that you're like, man, I love this analyst. Don't really like that analyst. I think Chris Sims, for me, has existed in kind of that and category most of the time.
He's an up and down, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes he says something and you go, well, that guy's on it. And then sometimes like, come on. Which I guess means he's doing his job great.
Fair enough.
But
I'm sure there's plenty of people listening that are like, oh, you're in the ant category right now, dog.
Oh, and no, okay, we're good, man. We're Touché. Good. They love us.
Who is that?
I don't know.
Okay. I know you're just saying that because you're on the radio.
That's right.
No, you got a job to do.
Yeah.
Well, the man with the job to do in this instance, Chris Sims, NBC Sports. And this was him talking with, I believe it was it Kevin O'Connor? I think, or I can't recall who he was talking with, but he alludes to things that he has been talking about on his personal podcast. But this time, his assessment is about Texans play caller Bobby Slowick, who everybody's been talking about. Mm-hmm. Is Chris Sims right about this?
It's a bigger problem than C.J. Stroud. It's right. Yeah. I mean, he's not perfect, but C.J. Stroud is still really damn good. And when you see stat lines, again, like we saw 2 weeks ago when they played the Jets on Thursday night, 10 of 30 with arguably the most accurate quarterback in football. I would say C.J. Stroud or Joe Burrow can probably dot the I as good as anybody in the game when it comes to accuracy. That's not C.J. Stroud. This is not like we're talking about Anthony Richardson where he misses the broadside of the barn every now and then. So that in itself, there's context in that numbers to go. There's institutional problems. You mentioned it. The injuries of receiver an issue. It's second year of Bobby Slowick's scheme. And I do think people have caught on to that. I've said a little bit on my podcast and Chris Sims Unbuttoned that, yeah, it's the Shanahan scheme, but it's like the early entry level of the Shanahan scheme. And Ouch. Now there needs to be more to it and a next level and a next group of plays and things they do. And we've yet to see that.
Ouch. Entry level Shanahan scheme?
Yeah. The way that he said it, it didn't make it sound like he was like working in the mailroom or something.
Yeah.
But like the basic tenets of the Shanahan scheme and understanding that the Shanahan scheme has, you know, tentacles all over the league at this point, but teams make them their own. Do you agree with Chris Sims that what we're seeing is maybe just like a basic level of the Shanahan scheme?
But, you know, here's where it gets interesting. We were assuming that there was going to be a next level after last season.
Correct.
Right? Because second year C.J. Stroud, second year Bobby Slowick, new toys, you know, with Stephon and Joe Mixon and second year, you know, Tank Dell. And I'm not so sure we were wrong on that. I think that was the plan. What I think is happening here, the whole entry-level Shanahan scheme, which really stands out when you listen to Chris Sims, is this has been this the entry-level part is a reaction to how the line has been playing, how this offense has been operating. Because, like, we talked about it at 10 o'clock. You know, they're kind of sort of maybe putting it all on the players, you know, with their comments. And so now maybe they realized they can't do this. We're hammering it into their heads that they have to do this, 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 and this. They're not doing it. Let's scale it back.
Mm.
You know, let's scale it back. And that's not really encouraging, man.
No, I mean, and that's going to be a necessity in some ways, right? The idea of you tailor what you're doing
sure.
to your players. But I think that's where you can maybe look at this in another way for Bobby Slowick, right? And we talked about this a little bit, was it earlier this week? The idea of they've still done a lot of kind of fullback necessitated things mm-hmm. without having the fullback profile player.
Correct.
They've still kind of put a lot of these wide receivers and tight ends and opportunities to block and condense formations without having the results of those guys holding up on their blocks and creating good or not consistently.
But that ties in directly to what he said.
And I think that's absolutely a thing. Like, one of the things that I thought about when you were mentioning the fullback thing, Troy Hairston is on this team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and he has not been utilized in those fullback situations. Now he's on the practice squad. Maybe they're waiting for, you know, they're utilizing elevations in certain instances. But that is something that if you are so committed to using these fullback type things that you can, you mm-hmm. do have a fullback that you brought back mm-hmm. to have that. It just feels like, yeah, man, this is a basic level of tenets. And I think that's why you have instances where Za'Darius Smith on the sideline can say, yeah, man, we hear their play calls and we can go get them, right? Like, and it looks kind of predictable why it feels yeah. like we could predict the things that are coming. I do think that there is a basic, we are in that basic place. And I think some of that is also indicative of Bobby Slowick being early in his play calling tenure, right? Like, there hasn't been as much time to develop and add more thought processes to what it is that the scheme and the system calls for.
Yeah, and there's also kind of a good news, bad news thing with this. The bad news is that when you scale it back and you do these types of things and it's entry level stuff, the defenses have a better advantage. You know, that's the bad news. They know what's coming. They see what you're doing. They know the problems with your offense. There is good news because he's talking about how they're sliding, you know, protections and blocking schemes and all this other stuff. Well, the good news is the reason they were doing that is no longer here. The reason they were doing that was Kenyon Green.
Yeah.
You know, they were sliding and helping and all this other stuff because they were trying to help Kenyon Green. So maybe you can sort of baby step your way into, if you get more confidence, you know, with Juice Scruggs at left guard and what Jarrett Patterson is doing at center, that maybe you can start adding some levels if you get more confidence with that, you know?
Yeah, and that's the thing that I've been waiting to see. I mean, we've all been waiting to see. I don't want to make myself special in any way in this regard.
We're all special.
Okay. Thank you for pointing out the fact that we're all special snowflakes. Thank you, sir. And from 713, I don't remember, his British books on IR all year. I believe so.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes down to it, yeah, man, we've been waiting for, as you mentioned, that next level, that evolution of Bobby Slowick, and it feels like there's been a lot of similar, but just shift in general, like over the course of the season, I've been waiting and hoping to see that, right? We talked about quick passing game, but also Sam Warren of the Chronicle does really good work breaking down some of these things. And today he put out like an article, and I believe a long form thread on Twitter is where I saw it, but I believe an article as well, talking about why Joe Mixon had no explosives. And surprise, some of the things that he comes down to is these condensed formations where this team has not been effective blocking, and it's been the players, right? It's been players missing assignments in certain instances, these tight ends, wide receivers mm-hmm. in some of those instances. But when this team goes to kind of normal splits as opposed to condensed splits, 29th in EPA on those runs, normal splits, they're, you know, leading the league in EPA.
Okay.
And it feels like those kind of adjustments are the things that are necessary, as opposed to just like taking this to a new level, quote unquote. It's better fitting the system to what this team does, as opposed to kind of what we would think of, or what I would think of, as like a starter packet Here is the basics of the basics of the, that's not a word, the basics of the Shanahan system. Run this as opposed to, hey, take this and then fit it to what you have and what you're doing and then go forward and flourish. And that's what I'm hoping for with Bobby Slowick, is that you take what the basics of this system is, and you better fit it to even the successes that you've seen and do more of those things, you know?
Well, yes, and as I said, there is an encouraging part here, but then, you know, you start thinking about this past game and the total inability to run, albeit against a really good Lions defense, but the template is there with how they're blocking it. I think it just comes back. Why is it that everything comes back to this offensive line?
Well, because the game and the success is about blocking and tackling. If you can't block, you can't get a lot of things done. And this is where I will say I give Bobby Slowick a modicum of grace on that. It's just, it is really tough to figure things out when your offensive line is not playing at a high level.
Yeah.
But with that being the case, you do want to see some iterations work through, some different things tried.
Well, Juice Scruggs and Jared Patterson.
And then that looks like that was helpful, but it was, I was a little discouraged.
Helpful with an asterisk.
Yeah, seeing them not being able to run, and understanding also that the Detroit Lions made it their game plan to stop Joe Mixon.
Sure.
I think that'll be really interesting to see against a Dallas Cowboys team that is not particularly good at stopping the run, what you're capable of doing there. And also, if we continue to see these condensed
forms. They're bad against the run. This is going to be a great test for just the amount of confidence that the Texans have in this new line, just the amount of confidence they have in maybe adding some things rather than taking away from some things in the game plan and in the play calling. No, this is going to be a great test, because if the Texans struggle to run the ball against the Dallas Cowboys and continue to have these second half scoring issues, boy,
well,
even with a win. Boy,
when you say struggle to run the football, what do you mean? Because I think when it comes to this running the football, it feels like explosives is the name of the game. Joe Mixon goes, gets out there, and he finds his opportunity to pop one. I feel like the Detroit Lions were very good at being on their job and making so the explosives didn't happen. I feel like the Cowboys are going to give you a few opportunities
to
get explosives. Bad. But if a lot of the runs look similar, but you still have the explosives, is that how you feel?
And you've heard me say this before. It always kind of irritates me. Well, if it wasn't for the 54-yard run. Well, no, he had a 54-yard run.
Okay,
it counts.
That's my bad. I should know my personnel. I know what you mean.
It counts.
I know what you're feeling on that. And from the text line, it feels like a lot of people feel like Chris Sims, on his assessment of Bobby Slowick.
We like him today?
Yeah, that is the general consensus. 832 does ask, how can you give Slowick grace when he consistently calls run plays on second and losing third and long? That is fair. Like he does call a lot of run plays in traditional pass circumstances. And that ends up being deeply frustrating. So I guess that is a fair question to levy back at 832. I appreciate that. But then also, something that made me laugh during the course of this from the 619. They said they smoked weed with Chris Sims at a party in Austin while he was the QB at Texas. Why are you snitching?
I'm sure that checks out. I'm sure that checks out.
Why are you snitching? But also, was he fun?
Did he laugh?
Well, I mean, I would hope so. If you getting high at a party and you're not having some fun with it, I would have real concerns. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get into what's popping, including what might be an ISO moment. Apparently, there's a new plan for the Astrodome.
Might be an ISO moment.
Okay, so yeah, he's about to be a radio terrorist. We'll talk about it next.
The biggest stories in sports and entertainment. Sports Radio 610 style. In the Loop presents What's Poppin'.
All right, let's get into What's Poppin' in the Loop on this Wednesday on Sports Radio 610. And there is local news about the Astrodome, and so brace yourself.
Let's see this new plan. Let's go.
I do love how strong Lopez's brand is, because before I even had a chance to really look at the story and read it, there was multiple texts on a text line. Hey Lopez.
Yeah.
You see the Astrodome?
Hey Lopez, they're tweaking me.
And the Astrodome thing that I am talking about is that there are renderings of the Astrodome Conservancy's $1 billion plan to save the landmark stadium.
Oh, nice. Oh, cool. Yay.
So the number that we're talking about is $1 billion. Now, in reading through the story, The idea being that the Astrodome or like the Astrodome Conservancy, take $1 billion to basically divide the interior of the structure into four buildings, so to say. Mm-hmm. Supposedly, they will add $1,500 additional parking spots. Where? I don't know, right? But it's supposedly it's 45,000 square feet of new revenue generating space, quote. Like, I don't know what that actually means.
Oh, new revenue generating. Oh, wow.
I don't know
how. Adding a layer.
What does the space do to generate revenue? I'm not certain.
Yeah.
But supposedly there's that 1,500 additional parking spots, how they get there.
What a plan.
Animal handling facilities could be located under a new ground floor, they say.
Wow.
Which I guess would be to try and appeal to the rodeo. And I don't know. I don't know how much more setup I need to do here, but I will just go ahead and throw this up. And supposedly, around the perimeter, Vision Astrodome has conceptualized a retail village.
Oh, cool. Sweet.
Year-round restaurants, hospitality, and,
there we go.
Exhibitions.
All right.
So they aim to address the needs of Harris County, which owns the park.
They're thinking about us.
Rodeo is not actually dealt with, Astrodome Conservancy. With that being the case, Lopez? ISO!
All right, here we go. Let me set this straight. I know Astrodome history. I would guess as humbly as possible, about as well or better than most people. Okay, I know what this Houston Astrodome Conservancy is. I can tell you that the people on this conservancy have next level junk drawers. Because they have next level junk drawers. They're hoarders. They could be on the TV show Hoarding.
Oh, okay.
They're people that are just hell bent on saving the Astrodome with no regard for who's going to pay for this. $1 billion is what they're saying.
But revenue generating space, though.
Cool story. Let me go back to some of the things that this conservancy has done. Okay. In 2015, remember when they went to Germany, Figgy? They went to Germany and tried to build this tropical island indoor park. They were doing research on it to make the Astrodome that, all right? 2018, there was a plan that they were floating to the Harris County commissioners, which at least, and I'll get to this, they spoke with the Harris County commissioners.
Oh, that's good.
I'll get back to that.
Okay.
2021, they launched this giant campaign to see what people would really want with the Astrodome. Including an event space that they did and all this other stuff. 2023, same people, the Houston Conservancy. Oh, we got an idea. We got another idea. Forget the one from 8 years ago and 6 years ago and 2 years ago. We got another one. This one is an entertainment village with a brewery. Hey, that's kind of cool sounding, isn't it?
People like their IPAs.
Yeah, people get behind that. And now they're talking about this garbage. And I say garbage because this is the most important thing that people need to know. The Houston Conservancy and what they are doing is total, unmitigated, complete BS.
Okay.
All right? It's complete BS. Now, let me illustrate it a little bit. This conservancy, these people with giant drunk drawers that are hoarding, mattresses from 1998, have no representation from the county, no representation from the Texans, no representation from the rodeo, no representation from the city.
So any of the decision makers, any of the principals
nobody
in this, yeah.
The people on this board are, to their credit, I'm not saying I'm totally against this.
I don't know, it sounds like
but, but I'm totally against this. They're people that are just clutching their pearls and clutching memories of the Astrodome. Not a single one of them has any stroke to actually raise the money. I mean, maybe they've been raised money in the past, but I'm saying that no connections to the people that want something entirely different from the Astrodome. Zero. It's total BS. This is just, and in another year or two, they're going to come up with something else because they don't have.
Keep trying, young man.
They don't have, they have people on. I went through their board, like what their bios say. Well, one of them is like the vintage Contessa. One of them is a historic renovation expert. Cool.
Yeah, renovation.
One of them calls himself a historian.
Okay.
Another fun. One, the chairman, which I guess it's easy to say. I mean, I'm not saying their names, but the chairman is Phoebe Tudor. It has you know, historic preservation is her background.
Okay, right. Sound like a good board.
Historical
man.
Commission? No, it does not. No, it does not.
Man, you know, dream team right there.
Historical commission has raised money for Centennial Garden. Serves on boards for the Houston Ballet and Herman Park and the National Trust for Historic.
The point being that they're not getting this
squat.
Done. All right, very good.
They got squat.
Very good.
This is just a group. This is a waste of money. But it's their money, so whatever, and maybe they raise
the group
it.
Itself. Yeah, I thought you meant the actual plan.
No, the Conservancy is a total waste of money.
Thank you.
What they are is an organized, multifaceted, multi-person texter. They're basically a group of texters that say, hey, maybe we should do this with the Astrodome. Hey, we should save the Astrodome. Hey, by the way, one other point. While I'm on this ISO, I have another point.
Ran a few possessions.
Hey, we really cleared that.
By the way,
it's two people on the court.
I have another point here. The Houston County right now is several million dollars behind on maintenance on the Astrodome. You can look it up. There's several. Some people say tens of millions, but
I don't know. We need the ether beast.
I don't know the exact. I don't know the exact number. But okay, so the county is several million behind. These people are glorified texters. They're hoarders. They have no support from the county, the Texans, the rodeo, or the city. This is total BS.
So you're saying it's a monorail. I got it. For the low price of $1 billion,
yeah,
you can have $450,000.
And that felt good to get off my chest.
I bet it did.
They drive me nuts.
It sounds like it. I just still think, what is 450,000 square feet of revenue generating space? Is that just like office space in the year of our Lord 2024? As if we don't have enough office space?
You know what it sounds like? It sounds like me and my buddies sitting around drinking. Oh, you know what they should do?
Yes.
If they do this, then they can do that. Then we can have that easy. Yeah.
You got $1 billion, man?
All right.
Y'all got $1 billion laying around?
If it was me, I would turn the Astrodome into like a big old place where a bunch of retail stores and
trampoline park, personally, for me.
I am
What's the most nonsense? All right, 713-572-4.
Let's do it. Let's do what they doing.
What's the most nonsensical thing that you could turn the Astrodome into? Let us know. My vote is this.
My vote is what they're saying.
Yeah.
That makes no sense. Total BS.
I go ahead and I start
dirt
the
bike park.
I begin the bidding with trampoline park. You go with dirt bike park. I like that. All right. We got the college football rankings part two, and the Indiana disrespect continues, as you heard from our guy Adam Spillane earlier. But SEC and Big Ten dominating these rankings. Four teams apiece as of right now. And of course, one of the things to be understood and remembered within the course of this is that some of these teams will face off against each other and maybe knock each other
out. But there's others right behind them.
And there are.
Like, I think there's nine SEC teams ranked, which means they're in the hunt for the playoff. And I don't remember exactly how many Big Ten, but like the SEC and the Big Ten is what it's going to be all about.
Yeah, there's gonna be a lot of those. Yeah. I think there is one Big 12 team. There is one ACC team. Like, there is a clear bias towards the biggest programs in the Big Ten and the SEC, which we kind of all knew. We kind of all knew that was going to happen.
Before
and I understand the idea is going to be, well, we make this more, you know, egalitarian. We make this more open. We have an opportunity to actually play it out. But how open is it if there's still going to be four Big Ten and four SEC teams in there?
World's largest dog park.
Ah, okay.
That's a dog park.
Oh, you'll be down with that.
I'll be down with that.
Ooh, it's $1 billion.
You got $1 billion laying around, man?
What's the ventilation like? Cause one of the things I hate about the dog park in my spot or any spot is you know it's a dog park when you walk by. Yeah, I'll tell you that.
A lot of those little green bags.
We'll just say it like that. Astrodome Water Park, turn the Astrodome into the world's largest playground. Astrodome, the world's largest strip club. Oh, yes. A big old Cheesecake Factory. that's an interesting one as well.
A Waffle House.
Who are the most dangerous teams in college football right now?
Woo. Boy, I'm glad you said that because I'm looking at three teams that I don't like. But I'm trying to be fair. I always try to be fair. I think the three most dangerous teams in college football right now are three teams that I don't like. I respect them. Ole Miss, Notre Dame, and Texas. Now, people
agree. Texas, I'm not sure.
I was going to say.
I need to sell on it.
People are looking at Texas' strength of schedule. It's like 55. It's not real high. and they still have some, you know, I mentioned the last
Spillane.
One. They still got to play Kentucky and at Arkansas and then A&M. So, but just the eye test with Texas, boy, when they can turn it on and they are able to turn it on, they can be explosive, and they've got depth and they've got speed and all that. But the best defense they played, which, by the way, lost this past week, they got worked. So, but I for sure, Ole Miss and Ole Miss might be playing the best football in America right now.
Yeah, yeah. Some other Astrodome possibilities from the 5-Hour Energy fan line, 806, and the new Astrodome, Spirit Halloween World Headquarters, world's largest butterfly exhibit. Okay, I enjoy that. A giant eye fly, which though that's one of those like skydiving type
part. Wow, that'd be kind of cool.
That would be kind of. We're gonna win Lopez back.
No, you're not. Yeah. No, you're not.
Because
this is what the conservancy is.
Go karts, a big old go kart, drive-in theater with a pool. How does that work?
Mm-hmm.
Drive-in theater with a pool.
I was gonna say like an IMAX theater where you could just lay down and the whole ceiling is a screen.
Yeah. Multi-level brothel sounds insane. Why do you need multi-level?
Why do you need more levels?
Like, why is that specified within? Anyways, I guess I did ask for absurd, and you guys are delivering on the text line. One more thing before we go, and what's popping? Jose Altuve, as we got Silver Slugger awards that came through. Jose Altuve nabbed his 7th of the awards at second base, which tied former Chicago Cubs star Ryan Sandberg for the most by second baseman in MLB history.
Ryan Sandberg, he was one of my favorite players, even though he wasn't on my team. Altuve is going to be just, how many more? How many more? And is Shohei going to break his record?
Well, that's another one is that your favorite, Shohei, did pick up his 3rd Silver
Slugger. Let's go Dodgers!
I love when you do that too.
But yeah, congratulations to Jose Altuve. We'll talk a little bit more baseball, I think, a little bit later in the program as well. But I did want to make sure that we shouted out Jose Altuve for that award. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610, where more of the potential, the more of the In the Loop Conservancy, ideas roll in. A real gladiatorial arena. A huge shoe repair store. I don't know why. My mom was talking about the Houston
shoe repair
Houston shoe
store.
Repair.
That's great.
Shoe hospital or whatever. I don't know why that was one of the nostalgic things that we were talking about.
That's
this weekend.
Great.
A Gladiator Stadium would be dope, though, if they imitate the
that
one.
That might be $2 billion.
If they imitate the one from, like, Rome, man, that would
have
be
lions.
Nice. Yeah, replica.
Have lions.
Yeah. Houston Sports Museum. 15-ish years from now, let the Astros play in there again.
Yeah.
A casino. Huge tire shop. Ooh.
Oh, wow.
I mean, there's a lot of parking already, a lot of cars, you know.
Buy those used tires.
There you go.
Yeah, that's a
or
big
that
thing.
24-hour shop.
Yeah, 24-hour tire
It would
shop.
Be a nice, it would be a real good spot for a big old planetarium, wouldn't it?
Long story short, Houston Conservancy, a joke.
Oh, this might be one of the best answers. Turn it into a Kmart, you know?
Bring Kmart back.
Just the return of Kmart.
I think it's one left.
Bigger and better than ever.
Yeah.
All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Enough of the foolishness until we get to more. Coming up next, we enter into the 12 o'clock hour, which means we are opened up on the possibility of giving away a $50 gift card to Texas Star Grill Shops. But also, are you okay if this season is simply a stepping stone season as opposed to a contending one? 713-572-4610. We'll talk about that next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.